Our scripture lesson for today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you to proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry in full.
We're just going to see how talented I really am today. See if I can juggle a Bible and a microphone. Last Sunday, those of you who are here know that I was installed, and there was a commission given to me, and I told Amy if I was preaching on commission, I'd have done a little bit different scripture, same book. So you get my commissioning, only I'm commissioning each of you, because it's the Christian's commission. Because guess what? We're all in this together. I'm not the only minister here. Because when we come in here, we come in to worship, we leave to serve, and that service is kind of the Greek word. Y'all, in diakonos, the word that we make deacon, means servant or slave. So, sorry deacons, just so you know. And minister is that same word, servant. So, this is my commission from Paul through Timothy to this Timothy to you. The first thing he says in that passage is to preach the word. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be up here. Sometimes maybe you will. But that's probably the least times for preaching. Saint Francis of Assisi, I've read and I studied hard this week to try to determine which one of the quotes attributed to him is probably more along the line of what was accurate. And what he said was this, and this is the one I think came out the best as far as fitting what he was saying. It said, preach Jesus. Use words if necessary. You see, how we act and interact with people, that's preaching. You may be the only sermon someone ever hears, and it's how you act day to day in tough situations, in easy situations, when things are going good, when things are going bad, when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're healthy, when you're not healthy. People are watching. Preach Jesus. Use words only if necessary. The second thing he says is be prepared. Now I'm going to steal some of 1 Peter's words, because in 1 Peter 3:15 he says, whenever anyone asks you to speak of your hope, be ready to defend it. So being ready means when someone is seeing you preach Jesus by your life and wants to know what's going on, why are you so different? For me, it'd be why are you so weird? But I used to love the King James because there's a verse that says you're a peculiar people, and I thought I fit that really well. The NIV doesn't translate it quite that way. But be ready to give an answer to the hope that's within you. You need to be prepared. Back during the Revolutionary War, a British soldier was coming up out of the woods when he was caught. He was supposed to be doing sentry duty. And he was taken to the commander. And the commander wanted to know what was going on. He says, I was praying. And the commander says, well, you better start praying right now, because if you ever need it, it is now. And the guy fell to his knees and poured out his heart in prayer. And when he figured he was going to be killed because he had left sentry duty to go into the woods. And he was convinced that everyone thought he was colluding with the enemy. When he finished his prayer with tears running down his cheeks, he looks up at the commanding officer who said, "Go on your way. No one could do that good at drill if he hadn't been practicing. We need to be prepared." So when someone asks a hope, so think about it. When you're driving in your car and you don't have anything else to do, think about it. If someone asks me, "What's Jesus done for me lately?" what's my answer? And then answer to yourself. That way you know what the answer is when someone asks you. Because I know he's done something for you, but sometimes we just get so caught up in all the great things God's doing for us, we just kind of take it for granted. We need to focus on it. So when someone asks, it's not just like, "Well, he loves me. The Bible tells me so." Well, they need to hear. That's true. That's true. But they need to hear a little more than that. Now, the next three things I'm going to kind of throw in together, and we're going to deal with them. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. We like the first two. You know, the correct means to convict other people of their errors. We like to point out what everybody else is doing wrong. Which is why Amy usually won't cook in the kitchen with me. I'm trying to get better, but it's like, why don't you? Oh, no, I'm going to shut up. Your way works. Eventually. Rebuke. Now, that's a little bit different than correcting, because it's pointing out their sin to help lead to repentance to avoid a future penalty. But still, most people really don't like being rebuked, even if it's for their own good. Especially in front of others. So one of the things I think that we need to learn to do is when we're going to correct and rebuke, we don't need to do it in front of a crowd. Which reminds me, Chris. Oh, no. No. We don't do it in front of a crowd. We do it in a kind and loving way, pointing out any error and being careful while we're pointing out an error in someone else that splick of dust in their eye isn't, you know, hard to see through the pole that's coming out of ours. The next one is encourage, and I think that's important. Because even if we correct and rebuke, we need to be encouraging those people at the same time. Because guess what? We all need to be encouraged at times. Everybody needs to be encouraged. I don't know about you guys, but I have bad days. Anybody here ever have a bad day? All right, either a lot of you are lying or I want to drink what you're drinking for breakfast. Because I only saw about 5 hands of people that have bad days. All right, now Yeah, if we're honest, we all have bad days. And something that can make a bad day better is someone saying an encouraging word and saying something positive to us. And it's easy. You know how much encouragement costs us? It's free. Yet we can make a big difference in someone's life. So, yes, we need to correct. Yes, we need to rebuke when necessary, but we need to encourage as well. I actually read a thing once that was talking about doing reviews, annual reviews, and it said for everything you're going to knock them down about, you got to give 3 things that they're doing right. And there's been some employees, I'm not sure about how to ever do that. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. It was a principle of encouragement. Final thoughts. Already. Yes, already. They're all in a couple of verses at the end of that passage. Keep your head, endure hardships, use your gift, and fulfill your ministry. First of all, keep your head. You know what? No matter how bad things are, if we can keep our head on straight, we can usually get through them all. It's the problem comes when we're going, you know, like Chicken Little running around, the sky is falling. And we have issues with that because, you know, when we lose our head, we're out of control, we can't manage one thing at a time. And there's times that it's tough, and that's when we need those encouragers to help us. So we need to keep our head. Endure hardships. No wonder I forgot it. Ugh. Who wants to endure hardships? Yay! I just can't wait. But we've been looking on Wednesday night at the book of James, and what's it say? It says, look at trials as great times, because that testing of your faith is going to bring perseverance. And perseverance, when it's full grown, is going to give you the faith that you need. So, don't look at these hardships as God punishing you. It may be God testing you, the refining fire to make the gold as pure as it can be. Now, I'm not saying that we should just really love hardships, but it doesn't say that. It says endure them. So in other words, how are you doing? Well, let me tell you. No, I think enduring means we don't have to give someone the litany of all the things that are going wrong with us. As we get older, it seems like more and more things are going wrong with us. I mean, it used to be, I got out of bed and everything worked. Now, you get out of bed and you kind of just make sure everything works before you go too far, right? Yeah, it's like, okay. Everything's on the same page now, all right. You that are young will understand that someday. Use your gift. That was kind of what I was talking about with the kids earlier. Whatever your gift is, use your gift. With Timothy, Paul obviously told him to preach the word. I think that his gift was a gift to preaching. That may not be your gift. Yeah, it's like the farmer who's out in the field. He's working hard and he sees up in the clouds, God puts GPC. He's like, okay, go preach Christ. So he stops his farming, goes off and starts preaching. And he's lousy. And people just won't come. And pretty soon people are like heckling him. And he shame, he walks back out and he's like, God, I saw the letters in the sky saying, GPC, go preach Christ. And he says, my son, that was go plant corn. Make sure you use the proper gift. If God wants you to plant corn, don't preach Christ. And finally, fulfill your ministry. Whatever that ministry is. Using your gift to fulfill your ministry. And if we each do that as individuals, then we'll be able to do it as a congregation as well. We're moving the Haley offering back to the third week so that we can have a new offering this month for the Good Samaritan Fund. Wanted to let you all know what that is. The Good Samaritan Fund is a fund that's going to be established to help those people in our congregation and in our community that are struggling, that need something to get them by now. And so when we give that offering today, understand it is to help people in our community that are struggling. And we have one right now that is struggling, which is why we moved the offering up. And so when you give today, if hospitality and giving are one of your gifts, fulfill your ministry by doing a little extra to help this family out today. Your commission. Go preach Christ. Endure hardships. Fulfill your ministry. A lot of stuff. But the bottom line is, it's just do what God tells you to do. It's not that hard. He gave us one commandment. Just one commandment. You know, y'all couldn't handle 10. Let's cut it down to one. And what's that one commandment? Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. And the way we love one another is by using whatever gift God has provided us to the best of our ability to further the work of His kingdom here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our gifts, and we thank you that they're various gifts and different so that we can work together to accomplish so many things. Today, we ask that you be with us as we finish worship and come before your table and visit with you there, but also as we leave this place, that we leave realizing that we're preaching you through how we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.